Once more, two tears of happiness.
Selling over 1.5 million copies, that was the 33rd best-selling single of all time. The 33rd best-selling single of all time. Proof that it's not just a genius comedian there, but a fantastic singer as well. The legend who is Ken Dodd. Isn't that right, Ken?
By Jove, young man. What a build-up. That's amazing. That was over 50 years ago.
Well,
1965.
At the heart.
1965. Exactly. It was a great year. I was at the London Palladium. My name was above the title, which is quite a... It's quite an honour, you know. If your name's over the title, then you are the top of the bill. London Palladium did the longest... It still is the longest run ever for a solo entertainer. 42 and a half weeks. Twice nightly, three times on a Saturday.
And that's what you call the business of show.
It was. I certainly couldn't do it now, but I was young then, you know. Young and full of fun and frolic.
Emma was astounded when I revealed that you were in the Guinness Book of Records for 1,500 jokes in 3.5 hours.
We did a sort of a marathon. We did it as a publicity stunt for charity, but I wanted to get some press coverage for a Christmas show I was doing, and I know they just wouldn't. I've done this and I've done that and I've done, you know, they interview people. They wouldn't. I wouldn't get anything out of that. So I invented. I said I'll break the world's joke telling record. As far as I know, there wasn't one. But it's one of those silly stories. Must have been on a slow news day, but it just caught on, and everybody was. They came along to the where I did it at the Royal Court Theatre at one lunchtime. I started. And they wired me up for the British Medical Association. I had all sorts of wires going to my heart. The man from the Guinness Book of Records was there. All sorts of people were there because they wanted to see what this world joke-telling record. Yeah. And we did about 5.5 hours, yeah.
Now, if we add to that, I mean, it's not like it's Ken Dodd OBE. Let's face it, it is Ken Dodd OBE.
One more day.
There you are. It's sorted through. But also, you're one of the rare entertainers who's got a second show of an audience with. Not only was there an audience with Ken Dodd, but there was another audience with your good self in 2002.
There were three, actually. There was three. an audience with, then another audience with, and then we did a live... it was an audience with, a live laughter tour. We did it from about three different theatres, yeah.
And you've got doctorates from the University of Chester, Liverpool Hope University.
Oh, I've been doctored four times, yeah.
Exactly. And there's a statue, which I didn't even realise, was at Lime Street Station in Liverpool, probably because I haven't been to Lime Street Station in Liverpool for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But you're there with Tickling Stick in hand.
I've seen that statue.
Same, yes, so have
yes. Oh, every time I go in there, it sounds really stupid,
and
but I
also,
think it's actually real people. It's so convincing.
Just
which might impress your three angels there, your three angels. It might be. I've been in Doctor Who.
Indeed. This is the cool thing.
Doctor Who. Yes. With the beautiful Bonnie Langford.
Yep, exactly.
Is there anything you haven't done, Ken?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't met you yet.
There you are.
No, there's always, every day's a good day, and every day's an adventure, so you look forward to doing something different every day. Marvellous, yes. There's lots of things I'd love to do, lots of places I'd like to see. That's the most marvellous thing about being alive. There's lots of people I'd love to meet. You've got three young ladies there, have you?
We do, we have
Emma. Are they three married ladies, or are they...
The saucy bachelor still maintains his style in all sorts of ways.
Are they three loose women?
I wouldn't say that at all. We have Emma Tinson, a level 3 journalist
level 3.
Student now.
They're
journalists,
are they?
Are they lady journalists?
One,
yes.
Two are. One is we have from the land of New Zealand, somebody
yes.
who now lives
in
the Isle of Man and speaks highly, of course, of the statue there, which is Norman Wisdom.
What's the lady doing Norman from New Zealand? She's studying us.
Yes, I am, you know, because we're such a backwards country. We're going to try and learn what you do over here. Electricity and all. Bring it back over.
Jessica?
How long have you been in Britain?
7 years now.
7 years? Oh, well, oh, there's a man somewhere.
What?
But, when a woman travels, there's a man.
Actually,
when a man travels, there's a woman.
It's these kind
we'll see what happens.
Perceptive comments.
A lady journalist, and can you drink?
Can I drink?
Can you drink?
Like water? Yeah, I can drink water.
It's a teetotal environment.
Draft bitter. Can she drink draft bitter?
I'm really sorry, but cider is more for me.
Lager.
I don't really like cider and bitter.
Cider? Oh.
Yeah.
Do you know they call it down south, don't you? Scrumpy.
Scrumpy.
Yeah, yes, cool. Very potent.
And because she's actually taking a year out before she goes to university to deal with her wonderful singing and operatic stuff, we have Eva MacDonald as well.
We do? Hello?
What does Eva do?
She's a midweek driver, pretty much full-time, these days. And most importantly, end of October, we'll be going in for Miss Teen UK.
Yes.
Oh, because she is officially Miss Lincoln.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, isn't that lovely?
She's amazing.
Lovely.
Yeah, there we are.
They still have those contests. Because at one time, they did away with all sort of beautiful girl contests, didn't they? They said it was too leery. Yeah. They still have them. Miss Lincoln, oh. It's very flat in Lincoln, you know.
If nothing else, Ken, at least you can actually say when you're in Darlington performing.
Well, that's two.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now what about number three?
well, Jessica, Emma and Eva. So we've clarified those. And, of course, from Australia, we have John Sawtell.
I'm now Mr. Lincoln.
Australia. Good gracious me. Australia. Why? Ask him, why do they keep calling us cobblers?
Why, John? Why?
Cobbers. All right, cobbler.
Cobbers is the word.
Copper, is it?
Cobbers, yes.
Oh, I stand corrected.
Yes.
And how long have you been in Britain?
About 4 months. And
So have you got used to working upside down?
Yes. Yes. I've got the hang of it.
We're upside down to you, aren't we?
Yes. Well, that's one way of putting it. Yes.
What do you think of British girls?
I
always wanted to ask a journalist a leading question.
No, I don't.
What do you think of Britain's beautiful girls?
I think they're lovely, and but I'm a married man, and
I'm not going.
I'm not going anywhere with this. But it's nice.
Surely even a married man can do better than lovely.
It's nice to be in the studio with. Lovely young women, and it's an excellent show Alex has put together here with us all in together.
I'm very tickled. I'm the one who goes around saying highly tickled. By Jove, Mrs., how tickled I am to be. It started off many years ago in the days of early radio. Early radio, you had to have a catchphrase. See, a catchphrase was a sort of a little bit of people remember you. You know, Guinness is good for you.
It's that man again from Itmar.
Well, that's the title of a show, yeah. But all sorts of trades, all sorts of goods. Anything you wanted to flog, you had to have a little catchphrase to it, you see. So I thought, well, people were saying, yes, it's that man again. The girls, and even the gentleman from Australia, he wouldn't know. But he had a comedian say, Arthur Askew, before your very eyes. Ken Platt was, I'll not take me caught off in Australia. Al Reed was. So I had to have a catchphrase. And being sort of a bit of a greedy person at the time, I thought I'll have a catchphrase. You can alter it all the time and make a different catchphrase. How tickled I am by, goodwill. Have you ever been tickled by goodwill, Mrs. Good old Willie? How tickled I am by this.
And I have to say, Ken, as I've frequently said, the ultimate joke, which I deliver hopelessly, I think Emma will attest to this at a seminar I've taken, about what a wonderful day to actually take a cucumber, run round to your neighbour's house and thrust it through the door and say, the Martians have landed. You deliver it so much better.
Well, that's a very different way than we're talking about it. It's what a beautiful day. By Jove, there used to be an old gag, you see. What a beautiful day for dashing into Marks and Spencer's and shouting Woolworths. That was the old gag.
Nice.
So I transformed into, what a beautiful day. What a beautiful day for ramming a cucumber through the vicar's letterbox and saying, how's that for the Martians? What a beautiful day for jumping off the top of Blackpool Tower, holding your granny's corsets over your head and saying, how is this for skydiving? They were all what you call picture gags, you see, when you speak in pictures. Now, Irish people do that all the time. Mm-hmm. You listen to an Irish person speaking, and all the time, every word they use, it always paints a picture in your mind. Of course, that's great for radio, isn't it?
Ken, how do you change your act for Australian audiences?
I'd love to. I'm ashamed. I stand before you, sir, actually begging for mercy.
You haven't blessed our shores.
A long time ago, I was offered for 6 or 7 years. This man kept phoning me up and said, "Would I like to tour Australia?"
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the Barrow Knights.
Oh yes, yes.
He used to book a lot of shows over there, mm-hmm. and I don't know. Don't know why I didn't go.
Mm.
I think it's a long journey, isn't it?
It is.
Very it's a long time to sit in the back of a taxi there.
Or a convict.
It is a long way, though. But I would have loved to have toured Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got some very good friends over there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good friends have gone from Britain there. Yeah. Very good people come from Australia. They come back to visit, you know, to check out where they've buried the money.
Now, clearly, if we're looking to catch you, your latest tour, it's phenomenal. I mean, again, the energy is... But you're in Leicester at De Montfort Hall this coming Saturday.
Yes, I years ago, a long time ago, I've played Leicester now about 50, 60 times over the years. The first played it with a marvellous man, a broadcaster from Radio Nottingham called Dennis McCarthy. And he was a wonderful, very good... bloke on the radio, and he booked me into the De Montfort, and it was such a great experience. Beautiful hall, lovely hall. I don't know, it's on the sort of, every time we went to Leicester, we used to get lost. We never, but now we've got a sat-nav, so now we get lost with a sat-nav.
Brilliant.
So it's fantastic. At least a little bit better.
That's what you need. And October, it's Blackpool, Darlington, Darlington, Blackpool, St Helens, Blackpool and Blackpool.
That's, we usually do all this, the Grand Theatre. It's a beautiful old theatre in Blackpool called the Grand Theatre. And it's what they call, perhaps your lady journalist might be interested, or the gentleman from Australia, it's what they call a Frank Matcham Theatre. Frank Matcham was perhaps the greatest theatre architect of all. And he did about 120 theatres all over the UK. He remodelled the Palladium. The Grand Theatre Blackpool is a beautiful theatre. If you want to see a sort of a real British music hall theatre, restored to its glory, that is the Grand Theatre Blackpool. And we do all those Sundays in October there, yeah.
It's generally sensational.
I'm coming to Leicester, aren't I?
This Saturday, the 26th of September.
It's on Saturday.
The De Montfort Hall.
How are we going to turn up on Sunday?
You see, these are the crucial
it's
things.
Saturday, yeah.
Ken, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us, we'd like to just come back to you after
another... It's not just me, you know. It's a Ken Dot Happiness show. It's a variety show. When you come back, I'll explain to you what a variety show is.
Well, you're going to now wear the hat of music producer, because I'm going to offer you two choices of musical, a little mini hiatus here as we start the campaign for you to take over from Peter Capaldi and not just be in Doctor Who, but to be the Doctor. What do you think? You think Ken Dodd as the Doctor?
I don't know. We'll have to audition him.
When the episode I was in, I was shot in the back by Don Thingy.
Henderson. Don Henderson.
Don Henderson. Yeah. He was a lovely man too.
Exactly.
Although he looked very vicious, but he was a lovely man actually. And I was the toll keeper in
the greatest show in the galaxy, quite literally, with Sylvester McCoy.
Bonnie Langford was the young lady. She's a lovely girl. It was shot in the middle of the night, it was.
The things that you go through for
the art. I just used aerodrome somewhere near Bristol.
And you see, John,
not a quarry.
Not a quarry.
No.
Anyway, Ken, would you like Promises or Try to Remember? By your good self, of course. Which one are you going to go for? Promises or Try to Remember?
Well, since you've got three young ladies there...
Mm-hmm.
It was actually written by Tom Springfield, who was Dusty Springfield's brother.
Which keeps the theme of the show going perfectly well, because we were just speaking to Peter Miles, who used to sing when they were both children together with Dusty
Springfield. Promises was Tom Springfield's composition.
Let's go with it, then.
Okay, great.
Promises, just empty promises. That's all you gave to me right from the start. Make those promises come true. Please come back, then we will start anew. promises come true.
I think that deserves a studio live round of applause.
Yay!
Now there's it. Now, can I ask the girls and the gentleman, the Australian man? Can I ask you a question? In your opinion, ladies, which in your song, which is the most important, the words or the music?
Emma.
See, that's really difficult. I think the melody of a song is very important, because if it sounds bad, people won't want to listen. But I think nowadays people tend to ignore
mumble.
The lyrics.
They mumble.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Mumble. Don't enunciate properly.
So perhaps the music is more important, but I think, you know, there should be some sort of a message coming through.
Eva.
Exactly. Because the words, they transmit the message, don't they? And most songs, a decent song, a good song for me, and for an entertainer, I'm not saying I was good at singing, but the words are very important, because that's all you've got, really. If you want, they always talk about a mysterious thing in being a jester, a comedian, the timing. People always talk about a mysterious thing called timing. And what does it mean? Does it mean inflection? Does it mean the speed? If you want to hear timing, listen to Frank Sinatra or Perry Como. The way they phrase a song, the words are very, very, very important, and they lovingly give full impact to all the words. They what do? They
caress them, Ken.
They
caress
them. I was going to say that, but
yeah, well, that's all right.
You had ladies in the studio.
I thought just step in there. What the heck?
I didn't want to turn you on then. I thought you were getting a bit saucy.
Yeah,
but the words are very, very important to me, anyway, to an entertainer. Yeah. What about the man from Australia? What does he think?
I'm half deaf, so it's the music.
You've got the music.
Yeah, the mood. Now, music conveys a mood, I think.
Are you talking about modern pop music?
Oh, no, all music sort of
Not the three-chord jobs.
You're not going on tour with Status Quo, Ken? I'm surprised.
There's some beautiful music. My favourite piece, I heard this, about 2 or 3 years ago, this piece, it's been going around for a long, long time, but I heard this piece of music, and, you know, God, I put tears to my eyes, and it was absolutely beautiful. I believe my lady partner, she knows all about music, classical music. It's called Intermezzo from Cavaliere Rusticana.
Ah, yes, Raging Bull.
Oh, God, it's so beautiful, really. It really is...
It's a superb thing. Very quickly, Eva, music or words as a singer?
Well, I would say that the words would probably be more important, because once upon a time, words were written before the music was written, and that's why words used to fit more to the music. But now with a lot of pop songs, people write the music
just
first,
get the beat.
And then the words. Yeah,
beats per minute.
And that's why a lot of pop songs don't make sense, because they try to fit the words to the music.
They're a lot more repetitive as well.
Yeah,
music
that's
to the words.
Why they can't write a lot of words to it, because it doesn't fit.
The thoughts of a 19-year-old Miss Lincoln.
There. There's one more angel yet.
Jessica.
Oh, hello. I'd say the words were more important, but I agree with Eva. The pop music or the pop industry is focusing more on the music and how it sounds, and people just don't really care about the words so much nowadays. I think they just, because you got clubbing and all sorts, so.
Oh, you go clubbing, do you?
Every
are you
night.
Are you a mover or a shaker?
I'm probably more of a mover, I think.
Jessica, I did, by chance, actually happen to catch one video of you at a stag evening, which I thought was astounding, really.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought, what? Where? What is she doing? After Emma had actually commented on your cute hat.
Oh, yes.
Then you moved all sorts of things. It's the joys of Facebook.
It was a strange summer, I'll tell you
she
that.
She wears a hat while she's dancing.
It's quite extraordinary. Ken, I cannot believe that your show business career has now spanned over 6 decades.
It is.
60 years.
Well, now, your four guests there, your four people there, and you yourself, I'm known as a comedian, a jester, you see, and the jester of old always carried a little prop with him called usually a stick, with a little head on it, or sometimes a pig's bladder. Well, I have what we call a tickling stick. See, and I, to people who I admire, I give them a tickling stick. So if you come along, you're not bribing you, but if you come along to the De Montfort on Saturday or Sunday, whichever day we find out it really is. Let me check this on the big board here. What month is it? October, isn't it?
I think it's the Saturday.
It's October.
Yeah, indeed, yes. And then, then we have the Thursday and Friday, 8th and 9th of October in Darlington. And also, I have to ask the question...
Let me check that out.
Does entertaining still give you a true feeling of consciousness?
Yes, 8 to 9 in Darlington. That's right, 8 to 9 in Darlington. Exactly. That's right. Yes, 8 to 9 in Darlington. That's right. And it's this particular week. Yes, you're right there.
We will see if we can arrange a little tour. They haven't managed to make it up to Harrogate yet. In fact, Emma hasn't even been further north than Harrogate in her entire life. Apart from once when she's from Surrey.
If you go to Darlington, you have to bring a phrase book.
There you have it.
And you have to learn to say, why are you?
Why are you, man? On the tune.
Why are you a canny lass? Yes, if you come to see the show, any of the shows, I'll present you with your very own tickling stick. And it's called a variety show. Now, a variety show, some people, particularly young people, say, oh, variety, it's old-fashioned. No. Variety really means a variety of skills. And the people I have with me, the supporting artists, they're all very, very talented people. Britain's greatest magician is coming with us, a man called Amethyst. And he has a beautiful girl, and he saws her in half. Amazing, isn't it? Amethyst, then a lovely lady called Sibby Jones, who plays the flute and the piano, and sings beautiful love songs. One beautiful, the one that always makes me cry, is called How Can I Miss You If You Won't Go Away?
That's it. It's just that's a
bit, How Can I Miss You If You Won't Go Away? Another one called...
yeah, I know where we're going. It's just classic. Take that, all you rap artists. Indeed. Pardon? Take that, all you rap artists like Eminem and such like.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I'm on as well, because I tell some new jokes and some new songs, and then I'll introduce you to one of Britain's greatest artists, one of Britain's greatest acts called Dickie Mint.
Classic. You mean you've actually got the return of Dickie Mint, that man?
Dickie Mint will be on the show with us, and he's a lovely man.
Amazing.
And
Scott
amazing.
Tracy from Thunderbirds, you know, Dickie Mint.
Amazing entertainer, Dickie Mint.
Ken, it's been sensational as ever. You can, of course, go to kendodd.com, a website, find out details of all the shows we've been talking about, and, of course, contact details for the theatres and all sorts of other things, including the Grand Theatre at Blackpool, Theatre Royal Civic Theatre at Darlington, Theatre Royal in St Helens, and a heap of other things. Emma, would you like to put those last two questions to the maestro that is Ken Dodd?
Of course. Ken, have you had a reasonably good telephonic link with us this evening?
Indeed I have. I didn't know this was going to be a show. I was going into your host, his bed and breakfast show. But
there you are.
But, and I realise you're his guest. And he's paying guests, probably. I don't know how much he charges you for going on to his show.
And that's a thought. Obviously, he'll have to act as my agent as well. Anyway, carry on. Whoops.
Anyway, I hope you've had a good time at his show there. It's...
And the next question, Emma, is...
Yes, of course, Ken, would you like to join us again on the show anytime soon?
I would love to. I'd love to be in your company again and tell you about some of my adventures in show business. I started in... I started when I was very, very young. I started when I was about 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old, as a boy entertainer. I'll tell you how I started. And then I started playing the social clubs, and then as a sort of cabaret, and then... I turned professional in 1954, and within 10 years, I was at the Palladium. So that I really was very, very, a very, very exciting time I've had.
In so many many ways, Ken
and
Dodd is the living embodiment.
Many of the people who you worship today, I did a concert where the Beatles were on when they weren't even professional, when they were playing a packing case. Here in Liverpool, and met many of the big icons of Tom Jones and all those people.
A living embodiment of Origins of Modern Britain, Ken Dodd, OBE. We salute you. Again, another round of applause, please. Yay!
Young man. Nice. Happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness.
to me, this world is a wonderful place. I'm the luckiest human in the human race. I've got no silver and I've got no gold, but I've got happiness in my soul.
Pretty much his theme tune, and I think we'd agree that that's the only theme tune he could actually have Ken Dodd OBE with more than his share of happiness, which he brought to us on the programme today, did he not, Emma?
He did indeed.
Jessica Ward and Emma Tinson. I could tell you their superhero aliases, but that would mean curtains for the free world.
That's the way true. Isn't that right, Graham Harper? Curtains for the free world if we reveal the aliases of Jessica Ward and Emma Tinson. Don't get me started on Eva MacDonald or indeed John Sawtell. Welcome to the show, ace director extraordinaire, only person who's directed classic Doctor Who, which was featuring many a gravel pit, as John would say. Was it gravel pit or sand pit? Yeah. In Australia, it seems that most of the classic episodes of Doctor Who just seem to end up in gravel pits.
Well, we just saw a lot in quarries, and there was an Australian actress, well, she's not really an actress, a horse trainer, but she appeared in some very early episodes of Doctor Who, Gay Waterhouse. And so Australians watched that episode.
Well, of course.
And that was in a quarry.
Because, you know, if you're going to celebrate nationality, you've got to get those horse trainers out there.
That's right.
Grief. It's like Burley horse trials all over again. Graham, you finished off with Walt Disney, and you're taking a brief break now. You're back on the midweek drive, which is great stuff. But Emma is keen to find out whether, unlike her, you've caught the first episode of the new series.
Yes, indeed. I missed it, Graham, but I want to know if you saw it and what you think.
I did see it. I didn't see the second. No, that was on last Saturday. Of course it was. Mm. I did see it. I'm going to watch the next one because it's a two-parter. I don't know. I liked it. I like him. I think he's a terrific Doctor Who, Peter Capaldi. And I think the his assistant, whose name's gone right out of my brain, which is a shame.
Jenna Coleman. She's leaving.
Is she?
Well, yes, she doesn't want to take over the record from Fraser Hines as being the longest serving companion as Simon Crenna.
Oh, I think she's really good. She's got a fantastic career ahead of her. So
she's going to play Queen Victoria in an ITV series.
Oh, is she? Oh, good for her. That's
she won't be amused.
Yeah. She'll be very pleased,
exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly.
I'm going to wait till the next episode.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I wasn't jumping up and down, and there's a reason why, but I'll say that next time when I've seen the second one.
Well, neither was Jessica Ward jumping up and down, really,
no.
Were you, Jessica?
See, I don't watch a lot of Doctor Who. It's just come and go. But
you notice the upward inflection there, because she could almost have been Australian. But no, she's New Zealand. Doctor Who?
Doctor Who? But I didn't really enjoy it. One of my New Zealand friends came over, I hadn't seen him in 7 years, and we were both watching it with our English flatmates, and we were all so confused because I just didn't really get it, and I thought it...
The Doctor on a tank with a guitar,
yeah,
having a midlife crisis.
What was that all about? See, I think I do like Capaldi, like, I really think he's a good Doctor, I just don't think the writing is as fabulous as it used to be. The series I have seen, anyway, the episodes.
My problem is why I'm going to see what happens next time. I didn't understand any of it. I do not know what it's about.
Yeah, the storyline was very weak. I was always questioning what's happening. Why have we jumped to here?
And why?
Because they can. That's important. Because
they're just
they
being
can.
Creative.
That's
I think great storytelling is telling a story, and if you don't understand it. Then I don't know what the story is. That's the problem.
Spoken as a genuine BAFTA award-winning director. Graham, you join us at a very propitious time in the programme this evening. Mind you, any time Graham Harper joins us is propitious, even if it's a kind of warm-up act for Phil Leonis, another director who's based in Los Angeles. I say another director. Of course, there's the Graham Harper and the Phil Leonis. Of course, Phil believes he secretly is the Doctor, but we'll talk about that in a few moments. Because you have done lots of location reports with us, including driving a train full of teddy bears, always good from that point of view, in Scarborough. Last week, it was another opportunity for Jessica and Emma to actually travel up with the team to actually join us at the show that was indeed the autumn North of England Horticultural Society's flower show.
Oh, brilliant. Was it good?
Eva equally didn't manage to make it. I thought it was splendid, but we met a few sort of people, and I come showing what a caring, sharing, midweek driver so I actually am. I have come bearing gifts
And if with your help, I will present them to the team, because from our main man here, who I think we actually met up with the Great Yorkshire Show, Eva might recall, the one and only Mr. Mercer, I actually have got a selection of samples which we can actually sort of pass through. So, first of all, a caramelised onion chutney for Emma. There we are.
Thank you.
That has always been marvellous from that perspective. We then actually sort of move on to the next little stage here, which is apricot for Eva. So there we are, an apricot one for your good self. Yeah. It's a totally random selection here. You're supposed to be giving me the big build-up here, Graham, in terms of that. A strawberry conserve for Jessica. So there we are. It's a line from that perspective. And because it's his first show and he's from Australia and he might not have encountered things like this before, so we thought we'd keep it as a bonus thing from that point of view. We've got an English breakfast fine cut marmalade.
Thank you. John
Sawtell. We are. Those initial sort of prizes have sort of gone through. So, nevertheless, you said we don't sort of think about that. Yeah. You can listen to the podcast.
Yeah, this is very sweet.
Of course, there will be a photo shoot required where you pose with the whole thing for tasting duty. So, it's classic stuff. Graham, so much to fit in, but so little time. So, Jessica's going to ask you those last two questions. Go, Jessica.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I have. I haven't found out much about any of you, but there we are.
Aww. Aww. That's very strange. Well, you'll
listen to
the podcast.
You'll have to come again.
Yeah, definitely.
You'll have to be there.
Be hearing from you in the near future?
I'm going to take a really long break for about 5 months, and then I think I'm going to be doing Coronation Street.
That's, of course, in his directorial routine. In terms of his commitments to the Midweek Drive show, could be back next week. You know,
absolutely.
Exactly. So, you know, it's always important that we clarify these kind of things, etc., which is very important. Okay, that's basically it. It's a wrap for us momentarily. Still 24 minutes of the show to actually go. Can we effectively sort of say farewell to Graham?
Goodbye, all. Bye. Bye, nice to see you.
And hello to Rupert Baker.
With lashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews and a clear audio muse, it's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Researching everywhere, just to find someone who cares. I've been looking every day, I know I'm gonna find a way. Nothing's gonna stop me now.
Sometimes keeping everybody's ego happy is a challenge in itself, and obviously we were just celebrating the joys of the Mercer's conserves and anything in a jar from that point of view. We can now celebrate in the company of Phil Leonis another product entirely. Phil Leonis, how's Los Angeles?
Los Angeles is a state of mind.
Nice!
That's how Los Angeles is. I've got a question for you. I think like 10 minutes ago, the court jester was asked those final two questions and answered one of them by beginning his life story. I, of course, turned off the show at that point because, you know, you don't want to hear the delayed show in the background because I want to be ready to answer the phone and be ready to go, you know, in case of a show business emergency.
Yeah.
So what did I miss? Apparently I missed a great deal of his life story because it took a long time for you to call.
Phil, that's what the podcast is all about.
We
had sufficient time to wheel in another BAFTA award-winning director. But whilst we were also enjoying, that was Spike and myself, our regular sort of team there. It's quite sad in its own way, but never mind. The North of England Horticultural Society's Autumn Flower Show, we met up with a Geordie lad who set up Stateside Treats, effectively a whole range of stateside delights, which with your help, Phil, I'm going to actually share with the team. I might even keep one back for yourself. So would you like to actually say who should get the first stateside randomly selected treat in the studio? Should it be Emma Tinson, Jessica, John Sawtell, or should it actually be Eva McDonald?
Well, the first question you asked was whether I wanted to choose. So let me answer that question first by saying no, I do not.
Oh, fair enough.
No, I do not.
Oh, well, there we are. I could have had free chocolate girls. But Phil said no, you know, stateside treats with a whole delightful setups there from that point. I can't believe he was so cruel to you. You know.
Why was there a stateside?
I just said I didn't want to choose. How am I cruel by not wishing to play favorites?
He's twisting
I love
your
all
words,
my kids.
Though.
equally, yes.
Well, there'll be prizes for all, Phil. So whom should we start off with for this stateside treat emporium? Genuine American chocolate from Geordieland. I know. Go
well,
figure.
Well, okay. What? Stateside, huh?
Yes.
Well, of course, each week I do an intercontinental podcast from the stateside to Down Under. So do you see where I'm going with this?
You see the connection that's
down
there?
Under.
John Sawtelle?
Yes. Pass it all
your
over.
I don't think that is Texas barbecue in milk chocolate. There.
Oh, wow.
Texas
barbecue
in
so
milk
cool.
chocolate.
Surely that's
never
amazing.
Let it be said that we don't push those boundaries out for the first show back.
Says it all,
if,
really.
if memory serves, isn't Texas barbecue in milk chocolate the name of Annette Andre's forthcoming memoir?
Ah, you're paying attention to the Arthur Weingarten scenario there. So who should get to the next one that we randomly choose
from?
Stateside Emporium. Stateside Treat Emporium.
This is not suitable for vegetarians.
Make the decision. Emma, Jessica, or Eva?
Well, I don't get to know what the treats are.
No, exactly. Yes.
Let's go, Jessica.
Okay, Jessica.
Oh, drum roll.
Thing. And Jessica gets cookies and cream in white chocolate.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Want a
swap? Thank you so much, Phil. Phil, you mean so much to me.
Like, see. The words of the Isle of Man,
I'll
echo three.
If you get
okay.
Horrible, I'll give you some.
Which leaves us, of course, with the two E's. Emma and Eva. Wow.
Well, and of course, I'm going to go with my old standby. Hook up the webcam and make them arm wrestle.
Oh, yes.
Oh, so close, but we'll save that for another
day. No. So here's what we're going to do. I will make a pick, but I'm also going to institute a new rule. Mm-hmm. And it's I don't know if you have this game there, but it's like a white elephant game. I'm going to name the next winner, but the next winner gets to either keep the one you assign or gets to pick from one of the other two winners you've already
Eva's just like, no, the pressure. Too much pressure.
So, Eva's up next.
Okay, there you go. So, a random one for your good self is...
Oh, no.
The Big Game. Salted peanuts, popcorn, and milk chocolate.
That sounds
the
surprising.
Big Game.
Right.
Which would leave us, of course, with Emma. Do we go straight to Emma on this particular one, or do we have a choice? I haven't quite followed the rules of this.
I pick Emma. I pick Emma.
Right, and Emma gets red velvet in milk chocolate.
Ooh. I got the posh one there. Fancy.
Wow. Except for that Texas barbecue thing, yeah. I think everyone won.
I wanted the pulled pork one, but milk chocolate.
Time will come.
Pulled pork chocolate. Oh, yeah. Lord. Lord, welcome to America. Here's how we eat. Deep fried umbrella handles. Here you go.
Phil, is there actually any weird American food that you would recommend we try?
Weird? Well, because if I eat it,
everything's
weird. Because if I eat it, it's not weird. Yeah. What is a weird American that I recommend you do try? No, not at all. Not at all. Anything I would find weird, I would not recommend. We eat it. We are an incredibly unhealthy people, and we do not. But what our food lacks in being healthy, or really, quite frankly, good, we more than make up for in serving really large portions of it. So that's the good news. Yeah.
Anyway, Phil, as always, it's the time of the show where you provide us with those director's notes. Graham possibly would have done it, but again, had challenges with his computer. It's okay, Graham, don't worry. We'll get you there sooner or later. Phil, of course, in Los Angeles. Of course, he's now become official member of the Breakfast Club. He's officially joining that.
No, I haven't yet. I haven't. I didn't show up this morning. Yeah. I didn't show up this morning to bring in my, what do you call it, my membership form, I guess, is what it would be. Yeah. And I haven't been sworn in the secret ceremony blindfolded that I think we gave away. We gave away the secret ceremony, I think, this week on Chilpack Hollywood Hour when we talked about Ronald Reagan's initiation to the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. A photo of which I found on a conspiracy website using the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, a collection of blue-haired, retired, real real estate agents, dentists, and nurses who apparently, according to this conspiracy site, run a global cabal that decides how the future will play out. So anyway, this is the club I'm joining. But I do want to talk about this idea of words versus music or anything else. I didn't think I was going to have any notes about the whole show. I was just sitting back, enjoying, listening, relaxing. But this kind of caught my interest because, of course, I consider myself a wordsmith. Carefully chosen words are the tools of my profession in a variety of ways. And yet, anyone who's saying that words are the most important thing could not be more wrong. Because I know this, as someone who uses words regularly, no one remembers what you say, no one remembers what you sing, nearly as much as they remember how you made them feel. And so tone is almost everything. Tone of a song, tone of a movie, tone of a speech. In our presidential election right now, with these 22 people running for president, they all seem to get this, so they try to wrap up their close-mindedness, their racist outlook, their clueless approach to problems in a tone that will be appealing. And of course, what comes across is how inauthentic that tone is, but that's another matter. But this is why there will be beautifully written songs with wonderful lyrics, but a version of that song might move you, whereas another rendition of that song might leave you cold altogether because the arrangement is so different. So it really is the tonal approach I think someone takes to anything, even to write poetry. The words, when you read them, might really stir you, but you're reading them in your own voice, and when you hear someone else read them, they may not stir you at all. It's fascinating to me, and it's a little bit depressing for me to admit this, since writing words is what I do for a living. But there is so much more that goes into this, and as I teach actors each week, one of the fascinating things we find more and more is, so much emphasis is placed on, oh boy, you have to memorize so much. But in reality, you don't have to memorize anything. As an actor, your job is to find the energy, embody the energy of a character, and to explore the emotional truth of that character. And when you found that character and embody that character, what you will find is the character already knows the words. You didn't need to memorize anything. And contrarywise, if you do memorize and learn the words first, and then you find the emotional reality of the character, you won't remember the words you memorized anyway.
Phil, I agree with you wholeheartedly about the mood of a song. You know that song "Hey Ya" by Outkast?
Do you know? Sure. Yeah.
Right. Now, when you hear that song "Hey Ya," it's a very up-tempo dance song. You think it's a joyful song. When you hear it sung slowly by someone else, it's a really cruel song about a breakup. So, yeah, we all heard it the first time and danced around and didn't really. Oh, well done.
That particular one. It's all about a breakup.
There was a version by singer Sarah Blasco, and she conveyed the true meaning of the song. Yeah.
Well, or her true meaning of the song, right? I mean,
yes, but if you take the words,
Well, I was just going to say, because there's the meaning, there's the intent behind writing something, but of course the artist's intent is only one element of something. Any creative expression comes from our unconscious, primarily. And so even if we have an artistic intent to what we're writing, there is a great deal of material that we are consciously not aware of, even in the works we are putting out there, that when another artist comes and interprets it and explores it, whole new levels of meaning will reveal themselves that the original author didn't even know. This is true, we find in film a great deal. You know, one director will approach a script without changing a word, and the meaning of the film will be totally different than what another director will bring to it.
Yeah, true.
astounding where we've actually landed up on this particular program. But then again, not so astounding when you bear in mind
Let
the meaning.
Let me tell you about being 8 years old and a court jester.
Exactly. Before you do that, you'll be pleased to know, Dean Haglund will be pleased to know, Australia have actually beaten Fiji 28-13.
In what? In what sport?
That would be the Rugby World Cup, which the United States of America are also part of, Phil. I'm getting very excited. They lost.
Really?
Kind of like American football.
But without any padding.
Yeah.
Yeah, rugby, I'm not... I mean, you know where I stand. I prefer what you refer to as football more than American football, but I do prefer American football to rugby.
Well, there you have it. In terms of, if we look back over the results, the biggest shock so far was certainly South Africa beating Japan 32-34. The USA bravely put up a great fight, but they lost to Samoa by 25 points to 16.
I always enjoy when athletes are referred to as being brave. I always love it. You're playing a game, and you played it so bravely. Because, of course, there are so many matches, aren't there, when teams just decide to give up and go home. No, there never are. Their whole job is to play the game. I don't think bravery has anything to do with it.
You say that, Phil, but what about...
They are being paid for it, to be fair.
But what about the New Zealand netball team losing to Australia in that whole final?
Don't even bring that up.
Sorry.
Who can forget? Who can forget that?
John, would you like to hear Phil's scary TV theme, or
yes,
would you like to actually listen to A Note from the Universe? It's entirely up to yourself.
Oh, I like the idea of scary.
You like the idea of scary.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
then we would go with the Note from the Universe. But
no, it's just a thought, because you were quite taken by Gladys Whitred and her unique, incomparable version of.
Coming to play, la 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 la, la. Andy Pat is here today, la 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 la. Time to go home, time to go home, la 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 la. Time to go home, time to go home, and he's waving goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye.
Responsible for the man that I became, actually, in so many ways, the Andy Pandy theme there. Still a scary Phil, or would you like me to dig out Muffin the Mule?
No, I see a lot of my future in that song, namely when I've become a shut-in and my only friends are cardboard cutouts, life-size cardboard cutouts of celebrities. I think that's the song I will sing along to as I serve these cardboard cutouts tea.
Yes. Yep. And that's part and parcel of the rich tapestry of life. If the Muppet Show can return to Sky, then certainly there's always a place for Andy Pandy. Strangely, the revamped version didn't go down quite as well as the classic.
I think my mum used to watch Andy Pandy when she was little, but I didn't realise it was that haunting. That was awful.
I know. It needs to be used in a horror film. It really does.
It really does.
Well, it's a thought. Anyway, Phil, would you like to do the honours and actually ask the team how they found the show today? Because it's been the return after several months of absence to the studio. Jessica Ward, Emma Tinson, Eva McDonald, of course, has kept the home fires burning, and she's welcomed them back like a trooper. And John Sawtell, who's our token Australian, who's joined us for his first debut before he does all sorts of other bits and pieces.
Well, I imagine they found the show by crossing the train tracks and before they got to the river, taking a left into the studio. But still, how did each of you find the show today?
You want to go first?
I'll go first.
I found it very interesting. There's been a lot of links with jazz music and Doctor Who and all sorts. So, I think it's been a good show.
Incorrect. Next answer.
You're so mean, Phil. You're so blunt.
I don't know. I thought we were playing a game again. I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
Ava.
Who's next?
I guess I will go. Well, actually, I only joined in halfway because I was stuck in some traffic, so I couldn't get here very quickly. But I found the Doctor Who discussion interesting because I think it was Arthur who was discussing it. And we were all Slating Doctor Who.
Slating.
Jessica.
Oh, it's absolutely rubbish. They made me sit next to an Australian and had to listen to a really, really creepy song. So, not for me.
Coming back.
Always a toughie. Midweek Drive Morning Edition. We actually start with Helen Skelton and National Letter Writing Week. And John?
Well, as an initiation, as far as the hazing process goes through, it's been quite pleasant.
Ronald Reagan hasn't been on the show and is unlikely to be on the show because we haven't reached the other world as yet.
And no dead pigs either, so that's all good.
Don't get me started on the sort of former extinguished lives of pigs. Bay Pig in the City has a massive impact on me. Phil, have you enjoyed the telephone link with us today?
Sure. Of course, you know that the whole Doctor Who discussion to my ears sounded like the adults in a Peanuts cartoon. Womp, 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 womp.
But that's because you are the Doctor, Phil, as you said on manychimpachollywood.com's assignments. Exactly. It would do that. So back again next week.
I wouldn't miss it.
When we also have the director of Star Trek Equinox, Annette Andre, and a fabulous musician as well, all making their debuts together with the return of director Darren Scales to the studio. Yay! To Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Peter Miles, Arthur Weingarten, Ken Dodd, Graham Harper, Phil Leonis, many thanks indeed to John Sawtell, Jessica Ward, Emma Tinson, Eva McDonald. Thank you very much. To you, dear listeners, keep on keeping on. Stay tuned to Siren 107.3 FM. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye!
Bye-bye! Bye-bye.